Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on podcasthealth.com. That's where you should get all your podcasts about health. It's a great site, podcasthealth.com. Or you could get it at radiomd.com, Apple, or of course, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you very much for doing so. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Roizen, coming to you from the Cleveland Clinic. Our guest is absolutely sensational. The book is Beyond Inheritance, Our Ever-Mutating Cells and a New Understanding of Health. Her name is Roxanne, K-H-A-M-S-I. Roxanne, pronounce your last name for us.
It's funny because I mispronounced it until I was in my teens. It's Kamsey, so you can just take the H away and just say it rhymes with ham.
Kamsey, Roxanne Kamsey. Her Substack, which I love the name of, is Evolving Stories. Is that correct?
That's right.
Evolvingstories.substack.com. But this is a wonderful book. It's about the fact that you're undergoing your body and cells, and I expect that's somatic cells mainly, and we'll come back to what that means, have lots of mutations, and they produce proteins that cause disease. And those proteins obviously are key. And I think on this show 3 weeks ago, we carried in the medical news of the week in the A segment, the fact that in the Million Veterans study, dilated cardiomyopathy, all the major risk factors were maybe 25%. And there were 99 other genes and those proteins from those genes that caused the vast majority of the dilated cardiomyopathy, at least in veterans. So Roxanne, what does the implication that our genes are constantly having mutations?
That's a great way to head into this, as you kind of alluded to. There's a lot of talk about genetic causes of diseases, but sometimes we can't figure out, you know, it doesn't seem that we've inherited those predispositions. So my book is really diving into this new area of research that's revealing our DNA is not static. It's changing a lot. We're picking up mutations as we go through life, as we age. In fact, there might be a tie between mutations and aging. It's now becoming clear that some of these diseases that are like, you know, heart disease or Alzheimer's even, might be caused by mutations that accumulate in our bodies throughout the year. So sometimes just as a result of wear and tear of our cells, as genes get turned on and off, some errors are introduced. And sometimes it's when cells divide to replenish our tissues. So there's so much opportunity for mistakes to enter our DNA. And my book, Beyond Inheritance, is really just about like, what can we now learn about how those mistakes affect our health?
And we should renote that the book is available on Amazon. It's a Riverhead Books publication.
And there's an audiobook as well. I spent a lot of time recording the audiobook. So if folks like listening to podcasts.
I know that too well. Roxanne Kamsey is an award-winning journalist who looks at new science, and that's where her Substack title comes from, Evolving Science. So when your cell duplicates, an individual cell gets a mutation, does it duplicate itself, or does that mutation get lost with the next child of that cell?
As you're rightly pointing to, it's like, what happens when something, when a mistake happens in a cell, is it forever? And the answer is, unless it's repaired properly, it does get passed on to the daughter cells. So when that cell divides, that error is copied into the next cell. Now, sometimes cells themselves are dead ends. Not every cell kind of replenishes the body. Sometimes they just kind of meet their demise and that's it. And sometimes the mutation doesn't fall in an important part of our genome. But then there are cases in which it does fall in an important part of the genome. And sometimes that will even cause a cell to have a survival advantage. So like what I was referring to with, for example, how mutant cells that arise in our body can cause disease. It's known that sometimes our blood cells will pick up mutations and they will kind of outcompete some of the other cells in our body. And they seem to be linked to a doubled risk of stroke, a doubled risk of heart attack. And these are not rare events. It's thought that one out of every five people over the age of 70 has a kind of threshold level of these mutant blood cells that contribute to heart risk. So there's now this conversation of whether we should be testing for this and like, how can we now make this part of perhaps checkups?
Tell us now, how do I want to say this? The genetic mutations, are they repaired or are they less repaired as we get older? Is it just an overwhelming number in the system to repair them, or are repair systems decline as we get older?
I love this question because it's talking about like the mechanics of our bodies and the numbers and how they add up. So scientists have looked and they've estimated that if you take a white blood cell from a centenarian, so somebody who's lived to be 100 years old, there's about 3,000 mutations in that white blood cell that are not found in other parts of the body. So that kind of gives you like a benchmark. And in fact, there was a fun study that I wrote about in this book where there's some scientists in the UK that did this experiment during the pandemic where they were getting FedEx boxes from or FedEx deliveries from the zoos all over the world. So they were looking at lions and giraffes and, you know, even mice and dogs. And they found that all these animals, including humans, kind of average about 3,000 mutations in their gut cells by the end of their lifespan. So this kind of 3,000 is a number I like to kind of mention just as a benchmark we can wrap our heads around. That's a result of just the accumulation of mutation over time. And you were asking about whether our cells get worse at fixing these errors. I think that's a really intriguing question. What I do know is that some animals seem to have an abundance of DNA repair enzymes. So for example, the bowhead whale, which is the longest living mammal on Earth, it lives 275 years perhaps, but is documented to live at least 220 plus. It has more than 50 times the amount of a certain enzyme. It's known to be involved in DNA repair. So the question is there a way that they're kind of slowing down mutation and then thereby increasing longevity?
And the other thing that I've learned, at least it's been, I think I am interpreting the science correctly, is that when you do, for example, weight-bearing exercise, you tear the muscle and you turn on a repair gene for that muscle that makes it stronger. Similarly, when you jump, you turn on a repair gene that turns on osteoblastic repair in your bone, so strengthening your spine and decreasing your risk of bone fracture. And similarly, we've learned, I think this week, that the E2 gene is very similar to doing brain speed of processing games, which again turns on repair genes for your neurons. So it may be possible for us to turn on our genes that are indicated for repair. And I don't know how to do, we will learn, I think, over the next 5 to 7 years, what turns on our genes that repair our DNA, others, our DNA itself, and learn how to turn that on, I hope.
Yeah. And there, you know, as I write about, there's companies that are exploring this pretty actively. Like they've actually looked and found there's variants of DNA repair enzymes in centenarians, and they're looking to kind of maybe deliver gene therapies that can give people that don't have those special, supposedly perhaps like highly effective DNA repair enzymes, a chance to kind of produce them in their bodies. It's kind of a little bit science fiction-y. It's a little bit to be proven, but the idea that DNA repair could be helpful in including in improving like health span or lifespan is very much something that people are talking about. And I think what you're also alluding to in terms of like whether stressing the system can essentially wake up kind of some of these repair processes is an important avenue to keep investigating.
We've been talking with the author of Beyond Inheritance, Our Ever-Mutating Cells and a New Understanding of Health. Obviously, someone who has a deep understanding of where science and even aging research is going, Roxanne Camsey of The Atlantic, The Atlantic Magazine, and has written this fantastic book on science and evolving science. And that's her, if you will, Substack. I think it is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Evolving Science.
It's Evolving Stories, but I like Evolving Science as well, because that does describe what I find. I found, even as I was writing this book, that like new studies were coming out. Some of the suspicions that this was an important area of study became much more clear. And I do think that, like, my big message here is that we've traditionally thought about genetic disease as something that's inherited, but it's not always inherited. It's sometimes something just that spontaneously our DNA changes. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this phenomenon called phenocopies. Phenocopies is when you have a disease that looks like an inherited disease, but you test the parents and they don't have the mutation. And what happens is you find out that that mutation either happened in the embryonic development of the individual, like when they were basically in utero, or later on in their life, and it mimics a disease. This is something totally brand new that is finally being appreciated, because it's only about a decade plus that we've had the DNA sequencing tools to look at the DNA of individual cells to see how much variation there is in the body.
Are there things, and the obvious question to me is, are there things that we can do to decrease our risk of at least the serious ones and maybe all of the mutations? Or is it just, if we are alive, that's part of our exposure to the sun and energy and living on Earth?
I love this. This is kind of going to the heart of, you know, what people want to know, right? How much is within our control, and how much is just the entropy of being alive? How much of it is just the chaos that's just, you know, as you mentioned, like it's hard to completely avoid the sun. It's possible, but it comes with drawbacks as well, right? I think there's active investigation here. Clearly, as I know you care about tobacco, avoiding tobacco is profoundly important. One of the things that was discovered just as I was wrapping up writing this book was, you know, we've gone from having very little information about how much genetic diversity and mutation there is in the body over a lifespan to now just like so much information that we have to make sense of the noise, like all this data. But towards the end of writing this, they've developed tools that now they can actually see there's a different mutational signature. So there's a different pattern of mutation that occurs from when you smoke tobacco or when you chew tobacco. So we can actually say with more confidence, this is what happens when you do these harmful behaviors. Interestingly, also, when you sleep, when you get adequate sleep, it's linked to fewer mutant cells arising in your body. So people who sleep more, like a sufficient number of hours a day, not too many, but a sufficient number, have a lower prevalence of these mutant cells that are linked to heart disease in their bodies. So I think those are two behaviors that we kind of know about, but it's interesting to just highlight how much the data is showing that this is important. We could go into antioxidants and what that does, because these kind of neutralize some of the free radicals that are known to damage DNA. But there, the data is a little equivocal. Like sometimes too many antioxidants can actually be linked to a shortened lifespan in the studies that have been done in animals. So TBD to some degree.
I love talking with you, Roxanne. We're going to have you back on. The writer, if you will, author of Evolving Stories, .substack.com, and of this book, a great book, Beyond Inheritance, Our Ever-Mutating Cells and a New Understanding of Health. The author's last name is Khamsi, Khamsi, first name Roxanne. Thank you so much for being on. It has been a real privilege.
Thank you for the great questions.
Thank you. We, of course, are sponsored by Life's First Naturals, the makers of Releasium, something you want to consider if you're having a side effect of nausea, vomiting, constipation, or diarrhea. Sounds peculiar that it treats both of those, but it does. Releasium. And it's over the counter. Take 2 days before, the day of, and 2 days after you increase dose or a new shot, or if you have symptoms. And remember, you can always decrease the dose. The side effect benefit of low dose GLP-1s is incredibly beneficial and maybe every 2 weeks is better because of resetting the receptor than every week. That Releaseum, if you will, made by lifefirstnaturals.com, as well as go to their website and see the double-blind randomized controlled trials for Truebiotics, bovine colostrum, and dye rescue. Also, our website, foryoungevity.com. Go there and sign up for the free newsletter, or you can just go to more extensive blog, not as quick reading as the For Youngevity newsletter, but you can go to michaelfroysenmd.substack.com. In the meantime, also go to evolvingstories.substack.com, which is really our guest, Roxanne Campsie's Substack. I can't wait to sign up. I hope you will too. And thank you, the 50,000 of you who download us every week. 50,000 of you can't be wrong, as they say for France. I don't know if it's true in France, but it certainly is for you who download us. Thank you very much for doing so. Feel free to tell your friends about us and rate us. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too. This was 1283B. The Bees, as you know, are always great guests, and Roxanne Campsie clearly fills that bill. The A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. You'll want to go back to last week's. It was a sensational week of news, of important information for you. We'll be back next week. We hope you are.